This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Did you guys know the record for the Rally Roach is a robust 28-14? If you don't know the story, what was the date? It happened in July.
It was a Thursday right after the All-Star break.
Yep, and there was a giant, massive roach in here. In my mind, he was 6 inches long, 4 inches wide.
Weighed about 20 pounds.
Hissed, flew, the whole thing.
Oh, it was one of the hissing cockroaches. Yeah.
And he was in the studio, and we flipped out. It happened right in the open of the show. And so my kids they like to do little pranks. And so they had a bunch of these rolling roaches around the house. I brought one in.
Rally roach, bring us the light.
And the Padres have gone 28-14 since the roach. Wow. And I was talking to a guy at the Padre game the other day. He's like, oh, man, the rally roach always makes me laugh. And I said, yeah. He goes, you guys should do shirts. And I go, we can't. I go, the minute we put it on a shirt, it's going to go downhill.
You don't think we thought of that?
Yeah,
of
the day it happened, I'm like, let's make a shirt.
That weekend, we were drawing up designs.
And I'll tell you, I said, you know, my biggest fear is if we put out the Rally Road shirt and they drop 7 in a row, and then we're the new...
That's what's in!
And it's Ben and Woods. I'm not making any big sudden movements this year. You'll notice. No faith healers, no nothing. Just no sudden movements. Just going to plow through it. But that's a really solid record for the Rally Roach. 28-14, that's no joke.
We respect the Rally Roach.
100%.
But we're not...
Beholden to him?
Yes, yeah. Good word. Well, beholden to the Rally Roach.
You know, I chewed him out a little bit yesterday before the game.
I was ready to exterminate him.
Now, to be fair, they lost on Saturday and Sunday when we're not here with the Roach.
Kiss it.
We kissed it on Friday, they won. We kissed it yesterday, they won.
Yep.
Do we need to take it home with us again. On the weekend?
Yeah, somebody it's possible,
take it home?
Yeah.
I think maybe. And that my kids, I told you, put this one in my wallet. So I now carry around a smashed up rubber cockroach in my wallet, which is weird when I go to gas stations and pull my wallet out. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to make any big sudden movements. But 28-14, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Padres do rally quite well this season.
They do.
They are known for their rallies.
They're like cockroaches, man. They never go away.
Yeah. And they never go away. Well, yesterday, the power bat, the 3-run home run, 2-run home run was the thing. Manny also had it was a very typical rally where, you know, Manny drove in the 2 with the bases loaded single off the pitcher's backside or shoulder or wherever it hit him.
How's that guy feeling today?
Not great.
Ball was ripped.
Now, do you think, just off topic a little bit, but was that ball going to be an out until it hit the pitcher and then deflected away from the second baseman? Because he almost got it on the dot.
Yeah, maybe.
And it looked like it got further away from him. So, you know, we talk about the good breaks and the bad breaks, and we wondered yesterday, are the breaks starting to turn against the Padres? Well, I would argue yesterday's game, Padres had some good breaks like that. That hit. There was a couple line drives late against the bullpen that went right to Donovan Solano.
Yep.
That helped them escape a couple of jams that were getting a little dicey to let the Mariners back into the game. The breaks are going to come and they're going to go. That's just how it goes in a baseball season. But the Padres keep putting themselves in position to win games.
That's it.
You know, they don't win every single one of them, but pretty much every day they put themselves in a position where they're a hit. They're a hit away, a play away, where they can win these games.
That's been the mantra all season long. So, yeah, really well done, Roach.
Keep it up tonight.
Keep it up.
All right, we'll look ahead to tonight's game a little bit later. Right now, though, Paulie's got some headlines for us in the Roundel Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Roundel Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Roundel Report. With Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
Good morning.
Just a quick story in sports here before we have a little bit of fun this morning.
kind of funny. But so Auburn quarterback Peyton Thorne went on a podcast this week. I believe this was yesterday. And he was talking about criticism that he gets from fans after losses or after a poor performance. You know, we've had plenty of examples over the years and don't do this usually of, hey, you don't go racial. Don't go after family members just because you lost a fantasy game or something.
Don't write them at all.
Ever.
Don't write them at all.
Hey, I lost fantasy football this week because you threw three interceptions.
I think it's safe if you want.
Come on.
I really believe this. I do feel like it's, you want to tag a player in something, make it positive. Right?
I think so.
You know, there's no, I don't, it's like you're telling an elite athlete.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to throw out honest opinions, you can mention the guy, but don't tag him.
Criticize him. Of course. Well, the DMs are gnarly. It's so toxic.
This is taking it to another level. So Peyton Thorne went on, it's called The Next Round, and he said that some of the criticism that he's received has included people finding him on Venmo and requesting money because they lost bets due to his performance.
Can't people just be normal?
So they're definitely not sending cash through. He had four interceptions on Saturday in their 21-14 loss to Cal. He said, it's funny when they lose money, they want their money back. They request it from me. But when they win money on a parlay, no one's ever sent me anything.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. They're not, you know, Manny hits the home run last night, Padres win. I'm not sending Manny $100 or whatever. But I'm not going to ask him for $100 if he one rolls between his legs and they lose the game. It's just, it's baseball.
Do gamblers not realize that for every athlete who has cost them a bet, he's also won someone else a
bet?
Correct.
Yeah. Exactly right.
If they're doing it right, there's always going to be about the same amount of money on both sides.
You know, and it's funny. Like, I had a golf legacy pool, costs like $300 to get in at the beginning of the season. You have to pick a winner. You can't use the same winner twice. Well, I had a lot of help this season. I finished second place, and I won a good amount of money. Took care of my old friend over here who helped me out this season.
Thanks.
I would call him. I sent him money because he helped me win. So I did what they don't do.
Would you have asked, would you have Venmo requested me had you lost? Like, hey, all your picks didn't help me. Give me $50 to, you know, cover part of this entry fee that you helped me lose.
Now, there is one pick that Ben helped me make that absolutely murdered me for the season, and I would have finished first if I didn't get
a Venmo request from you.
And I'm not bitter about it because you helped me win so much more than that one absolutely horrific pick down the stretch when I needed it most. I still greased him his $100.
So the Auburn quarterback, he was kind of joking about this. Like, he was
lighthearted.
But the NCAA is, like, absolutely monitoring this, especially with kids able to accept and make money now.
Yeah.
They are absolutely watching this, and I'm reading from ESPN. They have there's an AI company called Signify that the NCAA, they're a partner, they use them, and this company found that 1 in 3 high-profile college athletes do receive messages from people with, like, betting interests, whether it's...
I thought it would be 3 of 3.
Yeah?
Literally. Yeah. I thought it would be 3 of 3.
Like, people reaching out, trying to...
Don't you think that the athlete wants to win even more than you want to win your bet?
Yes.
He definitely does.
Definitely.
That's the thing. Like, you don't need... They don't need extra incentive or pressure from you because you bet on them. They already want to do well.
I'm telling you, man, it's the social media for kids in sports. It's absolutely toxic. Toxic.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on. Break away from sports for a second. Benny teased it in our last segment, a music festival. Now, I'm trying to remember exactly when the first rendition of Fyre Festival was. I think it was like 2016, 2017. You've seen, there's so many like documentaries on it now. We don't have to rehash everything that went into that, but it was an absolute scam. All the social media influencers like Kylie Jenner and people like that with millions of followers hyping up this festival, this music fest in the Caribbean on a private island. It's gonna be luxurious. And
great idea in theory.
Yeah, in theory. And then you got there and they had like a couple of porta potties,
cheese sandwiches,
like no water. I mean, it was It was horrible. In fact, it was so bad that the guy that founded it, Billy McFarland, went to prison.
Like,
he just got out like in the last year or so. And he's already announced Fire Festival 2. And
if at first you don't succeed.
This is called recidivism.
Try. Yes. He clearly learned nothing.
And I saw this headline actually a couple of days ago, I think on Sunday, and I didn't include it in the Rind report because I was kind of waiting for more details. I'm surely there's got to be more information. It's been 48 hours. There's still very little information on this other than it's going to be on a private island in the Caribbean. And they do have the dates. It's happening April 2025. And tickets are going from anywhere between $1,400 to over $1 million. They had their first like wave of pre-sale passes sold out immediately.
How?
They have not announced a single
not
act,
any artist.
None. And like literally, that's all the information that is out there. And people are like, here you go.
Anyone
here's my
who's,
money.
I don't care how bad it is this time and how horrific it gets. Anyone who spends money on this now deserves to lose their money.
Correct.
Yes.
At this point.
Yeah. People are going to get away with what you let them get away with.
Yeah.
And then it's on you. I no longer feel bad for those people.
The first batch of people, sure.
Yeah.
But now this batch of people, no, that's on you. You buy the tickets, it's on you. Then now the joke will probably be on everybody else, and it'll be the most spectacular, incredible festival in history.
Tickets for the controversial event range, $1,400 to a staggering $1.1 million. McFarlane said that the pricier options can include luxury yachts, scuba diving, island hopping.
Can also include a threesome.
I mean, this guy, he has millions of dollars in debt.
Yeah.
He just got out of jail because of the first festival. And I'm going, like, surely if you bought tickets to this already or want to buy tickets, you know what happened in the first one. I'm like, what are you doing?
He can't possibly.
Headliners can include.
Yeah, right.
Article sound system.
Yeah, they sold, they opened a very limited amount. I think it was like 100 tickets about a year ago when they were first discussing Fire Festival 2. Sold out like that. Just
it would be
gone.
The most elite
food rating. Options range from lobster thermidor. Can include lobster thermidor or cheese sandwiches.
It would be the most elite radio content of all time if we actually went. I'd actually like to send.
Could
Crisello.
We be invited as headliners?
Potentially.
We're the radio headliners for Firefest.
Anthony says it's going to be a better show than Oasis. I promise you, it won't.
Oasis will be there.
You don't need to take shots at my beloved Oasis, Anthony. Okay, 400 million pounds these guys are set to make. 400 million pounds.
Whew. All right, and then finally saw this earlier this morning, A news story from hotels.com.
Okay.
I thought, well, one of us is going to be staying in a hotel.
Ben Hickey.
That's
actually,
me. Two of us will.
That
but you'll
me.
Be staying there for several days. Now, is this a nice hotel? Scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank it?
7.
Okay.
Ben.
7 or 8.
Okay. Not quite
it's
up to Hyatt. Your
it's
high
Hyatt,
standards.
Yes. It's a Hyatt. That's a upper end chain hotel.
Yeah. Now, do you plan on getting room service?
It's
do
not
you
a 5
ever
star.
Service?
He, Paulie.
Have you ever had
his
room
mic
service?
Off. Turn his mic off. There's no effing way he's getting room service. There is no...
Do you think he's ever gotten
He has service? Before, against his will. It wasn't his idea.
All true. Room service is the most overpriced, disappointing way to eat when you're on vacation.
It's absolutely elite. Elite eating.
We're going to disagree on this.
I love room service.
Breakfast.
Late
night
dinner. On the brunch, late night dinner.
And then you've got the tray and the just sitting in your room forever.
No, you push it
outside of the door, you idiot.
It's the greatest part about it. Like, here you go. Take that.
Well,
it's massively expensive, though. Massively.
Hotels.com.
So I'll have two eggs and bacon. That'll be $37.
Yep.
They put out a list of the most unusual room service requests
that
hotels have reported. Number one on
Hold
this
on,
list.
Real quick. This guy sleeps with the chicken cacciatore plate still in his room.
It's disgusting.
He goes to bed.
No wonder you don't get room.
This reeks.
You're,
like,
you're doing
why
it
am
wrong.
I doing this? Just stick it outside. They come and get it for you. You don't even have to call them and tell them. They just come and get it.
I hate that feeling. Like when you go to a hotel in Vegas and you walk down the hallway, and there's just like every door, there's just like sitting there like old dishes. Like I don't like
that. Right, so you've seen that. So why wouldn't you put your dishes?
I know, but I just feel like that's I don't like it when they're out there. Like you should just have it. Just let them wait and take it away when they come and clean your room.
All right. Well, some of the most unusual requests for room service were an Evian water filled bathtub.
Like pour it out of the bottles into the bathtub, or fill the bathtub with ice and then put the bottles in the bathtub.
No.
With ice. Fill it with
Evian. No. The specific request was so their child can bathe in the most pure water.
Bathe in Evian. Well,
they should use Eco Water. Eco Water SoCal.
You do bathe in Eco Water.
I bathe in it every day. Yeah.
Let's see. A customized.
What would that cost? Just a quick, sorry. Estimate. Like, okay. A bathtub, how many bottles of
$3
water?
A bottle?
Yeah.
At a hotel. Hotels. We're talking $6 a bottle for room service.
60 of them.
At least.
Minimum. 80 no. of them. 100
I mean,
of them.
They could charge.
Well, I'm talking about the big ones.
Yeah.
You
need 60 of
$1,000 bathtub.
And then those are probably like $8 or $9 in room service.
Isn't it
at
cold?
Least. I mean, that could be $1,000 just to fill a bathtub.
So yeah. Stupid.
There was a customized allergen menu for their pet, like gluten-free, dairy-free. Somebody requested a caviar hot dog.
So would that be a hot dog with caviar on top, or instead of the hot dog, it's just a bun with caviar in it?
I think it's a hot dog with
caviar on top.
Is it a hot dog a sandwich? Caviar sandwich.
Caviar sandwich. Caviar
it's absolutely sandwich. Repugnant.
Fresh goat milk.
Well, obviously. I mean, you know, stale goat milk.
I've never asked for anything extra at a hotel.
No.
Never.
This person asked for 4 pounds of bananas.
Didn't want to cramp.
Room service.
I mean, that's like two bunches. I mean, it's
two bunches.
It's weird, but not. That's not insane.
Yeah, who is this person? Prince says, "I need money." You know, they make some funky ass requests. The Rolling Stones make some funky hotel requests.
Yeah, but
those
are the writers that they put for
not
their,
the writer.
No, just hotel.
Just
requests.
The hotel is you know, it's like we. I've heard people like, "Oh, I need certain amount of." Fresh flowers and fruit, and I mean, it's great if they give you a little extra, but stop being such a pain in the ass all the time, everybody.
Yeah,
thank you, Paulie. Is that the those are the weirdest ones?
Those are the weirdest ones. Okay. Yeah.
Any special requests at your Hyatt?
If you had to make a request, what would it be?
Will you do a breakfast buffet there?
No, because we're probably just getting up and going early to golf. So
just grab.
I don't even know if they do a buffet breakfast. I think that's more of a restaurant-y type breakfast.
I'm always fascinated by his trips. I'm fascinated. He doesn't give a lot, but I want more.
I just think you'd be
We've
very.
We stayed in a hotel with him like once.
I know, and he did twice.
I'm very boring.
So am I. Very boring. Be in my room. Watching my iPad.
The first year at spring training when he ditched us in the middle of the night.
He ditched us in the middle of the
night. And then last year, remember we got to our Airbnb at like 8 p.m. and it wasn't cleaned.
And we had to go somewhere else.
We had to go to a Hampton Inn down the street.
It's terrible.
Got that continental breakfast, though.
Yeah, we did.
I did partake of the continental breakfast.
I want more info about this trip coming up. I'm not buying exactly what he's selling right now. There's more to it.
I do like the hotel rooms that have a nice big tub.
You do?
Especially when I'm on a golf trip, because then you soak. Get a nice soak in the tub. And it's just you in the room, so you can just like...
It's nice. You can do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want and enjoy your tub.
Now I'm creeped out. I wasn't before, but now I am.
Carlos says, order Ben an escort to his room. I can get to my room just fine, Carlos. I don't need an escort. I'm good at finding... Following directions on the maps in the rooms to find it myself.
I mean, we could arrange. For
I can find it myself.
Ben thinks the girl's just there to show him which room is his.
All right. Is there any particular reason
you want to escort me to my room?
Is there any reason that you're still here?
Okay. $300 just to escort me to my room.
That dress seems a little bit appropriate to just take me up to the fourth floor, but okay.
Can escort myself, thank you very much.
Do you ever have the people bring the luggage up to your room, or do you do it yourself?
Do it myself.
Yeah, I figured.
Of course you do.
Sometimes when they
four
have
four trips,
when you can just borrow their cart and take it yourself,
the
with
cart. Pushing that thing through the lobby and getting on the elevator.
Those fiver tips start adding up
they
after
do.
A while.
They really do.
Picking up cash for tip money before a trip.
I have. Yeah.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Thank God.
I always get in a pinch where all I have is 20s. I'm like, here you go.
Enjoy. It's the worst when you have to ask.
Can you give me a 10 back?
The guy for change that you're tipping. Worst. It is such a bad feeling.
It's the worst.
Like, I'm not tipping you this whole thing.
The whole trip, too. So I'll see you like 4 days. Here's 20. Remember this face. Bring my car down.
All right. I didn't get to it last hour, so we will replay Jesse's Incorporator. When we come back, I promise, we will then preview Game 2 of the series against the Mariners. Coming up next after traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse Agler is a person who always keeps baseball from getting boring. And baseball is a lot of things, but it isn't boring. You can join our friend Rob Bradford on his podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring, every day. Rob taking you through the league, spotlighting what makes the game fun. You can find it on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. One thing that we do that's fun with Jesse every Tuesday is the Incorporator. Joined us yesterday, and Woods gave him the word gentacular, which means having to do with breakfast. Like, coffee is a gentacular beverage.
Yep.
And I had never heard that word before, but
me neither.
It was a pretty good one. And as always, Jesse, with flair, included it in last night's broadcast in the third inning. Paulie?
So, yeah, June 5th, the last time the Padres played a road game in their own time zone. That was the nugget of the game presented by Chick-fil-A San Diego. We have 21 restaurants in San Diego. You're never too far from the home of the original chicken sandwich. Come try the honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich for a limited time. We've had, rush hour baseball this year. We've had even in Korea, pre-gentacular baseball.
Yeah.
All hours of the day and night here in 2024.
That was pre...
Runner on first, one out for a ride.
Yeah, pre-breakfast.
3 o'clock first pitch for the first game. Can you imagine? That was games one... and two. And now we are at game 147, I believe, tonight.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's flown by. It has flown by this year. I still can't believe it. Last year was dragging. This year is flying by. And it seems like just yesterday we were at the Rambler Motel and walking into a sea of San Diegans ready to watch the Dodgers and Padres at Seven Mile Casino. What a night. What a way to start the season.
And, Padres split those games. We're really a .500 team for the first, 100 games of the season?
Yeah.
50 and 50, right?
Yes.
The first 100 games of this season, this team was languishing at .500. Couldn't really escape the pull, the gravitational pull of .500. And then all of a sudden, the All-Star break hit, and they went on a nice 19-4 run.
That'll do.
And, outside of that one run, they really have been a .500 team.
Yeah.
They're, three games above .500 outside of that one 15 games above .500 run that they had.
That's all you need sometimes.
But that is.
Gets you a little cushion for the push.
That's why last year I kept going, they're going to be okay.
It's gonna
because
they're going to
have
do this.
They're going to have one, just one run out of 162 games. And then they finally did in the last, this time of year. This was when they were doing their 8-game winning streak and winning, 14 of their last 16 games to climb above .500, but it was too late.
That's
and
so great.
Then they really weren't a .500 team. They were a below .500 team for most of last season. But that's why staying around .500 is important, because when you do go on your run, you can actually, get up with the top teams and the playoff teams in baseball like they did this year.
And it's happened to the Phillies, it's happened to the Yankees, it's happened to the Orioles, it's happened to all the Dodgers at times. I mean,
all of those teams have had long stretches where they've been no better than a 500.
Yeah, they stack those early wins.
Now the Mariners, who the Padres are playing tonight, should be one of those playoff teams, but they couldn't play .500 ball. They've played about 10 games under .500 since the All-Star break, and that's cost them. If they had just played .500 ball, they'd either be right there or in first place still against the Houston Astros, but they didn't. They played 10 games under, and now they've put themselves in a pretty bad spot. They lost a game in the standings. They're now 4 games back of the wild card, and they didn't lose a game to the Astros, who lost to the A's yesterday.
Yeah.
Mark Kotze pulling out the bunt game in extra innings. Did you see that? 3 straight bunts.
Yeah, 3 straight.
To score the winning run.
I know somebody that's very happy.
I know you do. Yeah. I know you do. All right, we got one final segment left. Woods has a question for us.
Yeah, it's a question I wanted to ask. I saw it on Twitter yesterday. Should I ask it now? You guys can think about your answers.
Yes. Yeah. Then everyone can be thinking for our last segment.
I loved this. I saw some great comments yesterday. What's something people romanticize, but it's actually horrible? There's so much.
Yes.
About it.
All right. It's coming up in our final segment of Ben and Woods next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, Padres got the first game yesterday behind solid five innings from Yu Darvish, home runs from Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado, who set the all-time Padres home run record with his 164th, and good enough bullpen work at the end of the game to beat the Mariners 7-3. Now they go for the sweep of the two-game series, and with Michael King on the mound, I was feeling very confident about those chances. And then I kind of looked at today's starter, Brian Wu. And I knew all of the Mariners starters are good, so this guy has been a quality start machine for the Mariners. You go through his game logs. He started his season in May, but once he got up to full innings, I mean, it is 6 innings, 0 runs, 6 innings, 3 runs, 6 innings, 0 runs, 6 innings, 0 runs, 5 2/3 innings, 2 runs, 7 innings, 0 runs, 6 2/3, 3 runs, 7 innings, no runs. He's had 2 bad starts in which he gave up 4 runs, both to the Angels. Other than that, guy has been really good this year. He's got an ERA under 3. His home ERA is 1.50.
Yeah, hasn't lost at home.
At T-Mobile? Is that what they call it now? Safeco? I have trouble when they change the name of parks. I'm so glad that Petco Park has remained
Petco Park.
Petco Park, and they haven't changed it over the years.
Yeah, he's good, man. Nasty stuff.
Xander Young, yeah. Solid pitcher, which means Michael King will have to continue what he has done this second half and be one of the better pitchers in the game, because I would expect a low-scoring affair here tonight at T-Mobile Park.
Doesn't throw a lot of spinners at all. You know, throws a he's basically, it's one of those weird guys that throws 2 different fastballs at you, so it can be challenged. Is this the 4-seam? Is this the 2-seam? He uses those. He's really a 4-seam guy, kind of a power arm, Benny. But he'll mix that 2-seamer in on the hands on those righties, and yeah, he's. They're all, you know, they're all really good. They're starters, but Padres have handled guys like him. I'm not too worried about it.
They got to you for the couple of solo shots yesterday, and there are a couple of guys who are certainly dangerous if they get a hold of one.
Their lineup looks scarier than it's
certainly produced,
out, right? Like, it looks pretty solid, 1 through 9. You look at it and go, I don't see a lot of scrubs in here.
Michael King has been really hard to square up, especially second half of the season. The hard hit rate is extremely low, and the Mariners basically only score when they barrel the ball up. They don't put together a lot of rallies, you know, a bunch of hits together. That's not been their MO. They're okay. I think they're 12th or 13th in home runs, so occasionally, like last night, they'll get a hold. You just hope no one's on base when it happens. But Michael King has been really tough to square up this year.
Any consternation at all about the bullpen? I saw people saying, yeah, you know, this going to those high leverage guys with that big lead. Again, I mean, you know, what did you say earlier? You had a good quote. Something about taking the opportunity, but those opportunities are wins.
I said, you know, there will be consequences to using your back end of your bullpen, and hopefully those consequences include winning a World Series.
Well, right.
I mean,
well, and even in Mike Schilt's case, when he's done it, they've mostly equated to wins. When he's been very aggressive with the bullpen, and you look at it with the off day tomorrow, I don't know that you see Tanner Scott again today. I don't know that you see Jason Adam today. I don't know that you see Robert Suarez again. Certainly, after 18 pitches, you probably could.
Estrada, absolutely. He threw like six pitches.
You got Hoeing fresh. You got Morejon fresh. You got Wandy fresh. You got Yuki fresh. You got Alec Jacob fresh. Your bullpen's still pretty solid. You're going to need all those guys to win games.
Yeah. I mean, even if you do pitch Scott, he hasn't been as effective the second day of back-to-back, so I think you should definitely be careful. I mean, if it really came down to it, you probably could ask him to go out there because you know there's a day off tomorrow, which means who knows how many days, you know, you're going to be able to get him off. But there is there's an aggression to Mike Schilt. When he sees a win in front of him, he tries to take it.
100%.
And I've come to actually appreciate that about Mike Schilt.
And again, I can't worry what it's going to look like in October. I can't. I can't put myself through that because that's not how it works. You got to get those wins to get there. You have an opportunity to seize one. You make the moves. You do it. Yeah, there's been some where I'm like, all right, maybe this was unnecessary, but it's also a matter of who do I trust? Who do I trust? It wasn't a good outing for Tanner Scott.
I mean, there was one game in Kansas City when they were left with Yuki in late in the game because they'd used their bullpen too much. This was before the trade deadline, before the new guys. And yes, cost them that game that day.
Well, and hey, listen, in the beginning part of the season before you had Adam and Scott and some of the other dudes in there and Hoeing and some of the Estrada had established himself. Yes, Robert Schwartz was the only guy he trusted. I'm surprised he didn't go to him for 8-out saves earlier in the season, as bad as the bullpen was. Remember, you know, they were rolling through it with Steven Kolak and all kinds of guys like that.
What we don't know and will never know is had Mike Schilt been a little more conservative with his back end of the bullpen, how many games would he have lost?
I know.
By saving those guys. We don't know. We don't know the answer to that.
If there's blood in the water, man, I think you got to eat. I really do. It's certainly a different philosophy than we've seen here in the past.
All right, repeat your question here before we get to traffic one more time.
All right, one more time.
What is something that we romanticize?
That people romanticize, but it's actually horrible.
We'll do that right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So when you said this, it made a lot of sense to me because we always make things a little better, I think, in our minds than they truly are in reality. It's probably a healthy thing, actually. You don't want to be thinking the worst of everything all the time. It's nice to have an idealized image in your mind of something.
Sure.
But, yeah, sometimes reality is very disappointing.
The one that got me was when they asked the question yesterday. Somebody tweeted it, and they said camping.
Oh, and
I
wrote, what was he saying?
I wrote, thank you for saying this.
I was literally going to, that was mine.
I think people do romanticize camping. I would go out on a limb and say, and I know there are people that love to camp. Certainly. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but you've never had a good night's sleep in a tent. The temperature's never been perfect. You've never been comfortable in a tent. I think I can say that accurately. It has
I've had
not
a lot
been...
of great night sleeps in hotels, though.
Oh, I've had so many you good night sleeps in hotels.
From what I can remember, and it's been a long time since I've gone camping, but you endure
it.
Like 80 to 90% of it. For those one real, like, truly good moments where you're around the fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just kind of shooting the breeze with everybody and having a
some
drink.
Some hotels have fire pits, too.
Yeah.
They do.
I mean, that's different. You kind of, you're enduring to get to the one or two little good moments.
The camping, the act of going to a cool national park and setting up a tent is cool. That's fun. Your kids love it, I'm sure. My kids will never know the feeling.
but maybe later in life.
Maybe they can go with their friends. But the getting into the tent, getting into a sleeping bag, zipping it up the side and laying there, you can have a pad down below, whatever. You've never had a good night's sleep. It has not been ideal. Unless you're hammered. You had a bottle of Jack Daniels. Then maybe you pass out anyway.
I don't know.
Pass out in a chair.
The last thing I'd want to be is hungover on a camping trip outside.
It's the worst. It's absolutely the worst. So I think that's one that often gets romanticized.
All right. I had a couple of thoughts on this. Black and white movies.
100%.
The classics, as they like to say. Oh, they don't make them like they used to. You know why? Because they were terrible.
I can't watch it. I can't do it.
Awful.
When they put new movies out in black, I'm not watching.
Well, even the old one, even the old classics, I just find just to be horribly boring.
We've really romanticized. Films are so much better now. They're so much better now. That's a good one. Walking on the Beach.
Yeah, I mean, walking on the beach is okay.
Seems like
spending the entire day on the beach, that's basically camping.
Pretty much. You guys can call us with yours, 833-288-0973, if you want.
Oh, there's a good one. K-Cheek says, Penny Arcades.
Penny Arcades. Those games are much better now than they used to be.
I'm going to go with the McRib sandwich.
People
romanticize the McRib and they wait for it to come back every year and worry that it's never returning. But in reality, it's a very, very poor excuse for a barbecue sandwich.
It is. Sometimes it's the best you can get, though. Like, it's the only thing available.
All right.
You know? I'll eat one a year.
A lot of people in our chat say have said Disneyland.
Yeah, I disagree.
I also disagree.
I always have a good time at Disneyland.
I mean, there are challenges.
Massive challenges.
I mean, the walking, the lines.
The parking.
Yes.
But if done right, it can be a really fun day. I really enjoy Disneyland much more than I thought I would as a dad of two little boys that really like Disneyland. I don't dread going there like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. No, I actually always have fun.
This is going to sound horrible for me in particular.
Oh, I can't wait.
Considering what I'm about to do and what I do for the 95% of my recreation, golf.
We romanticize the hell out of golf. Yeah. We really do. You're right.
In reality, it's like horrible. 98% of the time I leave feeling very disappointed in what I just did. And yet I keep going back for that 2% of the time that it actually lives up to my hopes.
Curtis is right. Music festivals. Boy, they sound good. Oh. And when you get your ticket for a big festival, you're so excited to get out there until you actually get out there. And then when you're done on Sunday or Monday or whatever, horrible. I couldn't hear. I could barely get to the stage to see my favorite artists. I missed it. The walk was 3 miles to the venue. It was dusty. We had a dust storm. You know, I did way too much of something. I didn't eat enough. I ate like crap. I mean, it's really a horrible experience when you're done. You feel like you got in a wreck.
Can you do the one from Mark Qwerty, OG?
I don't see it. Where is it?
You don't see it? Right between Carlos and Charisma there?
No.
Fine, I'll say it. Relations in the shower.
100%. Massively overrated. Romanticized, certainly. Like in the movies and whatever. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of acts.
Hot tub, too.
Acts terrible. That you've seen and think it's going to be great.
Beach. Hot tub, shower. Why did I see that? I don't know why I can't see that. Oh, you're in the different chat.
Yes, that's probably it.
Some holidays.
Well, not Memorial Day,
not Memorial Day for you.
What do you have planned for today?
Yeah,
I know
Patriot
this is your
Day.
Second favorite holiday, I'm sure.
And when I came in this morning, Paulie said, happy 9/11 to you. I said, no, Paulie, remember, we don't do that on 9/11.
Valentine's Day. Super romanticized.
Terrible. Yeah. Super,
sucks.
It's literally
romanticized. Yeah. And it sucks. The holidays, I mean, the holiday season, like December alone is great. I love it, but it can be very stressful.
Everyone should have their own Valentine's Day. But when everyone has to do it on the same day, mm-hmm. and every restaurant is booked and every flower shop is charging triple the price, and it's horrible. It really is. It's horrible.
Yeah, it really is a nightmare. I'm in birthday/anniversary. Our anniversary is a week after Hannah's birthday, which is on Sunday. And we're doing we do the traditional gifts. You know what the traditional gift is?
For what year?
Seven.
Seven.
Copper and wool.
Copper and wool.
I guess copper and or copper ore.
Sounds like a very, I mean, what do pennies?
Pennies, not good. Wool.
Sweater and some pennies.
Look where we live. A sweater with pennies on it.
Ooh, perfect. Yeah. Blinged out with pennies.
Now, like our buddy Will Holder's saying, look, I love camping. This is great. He sends me a picture of the woods. That looks great. You're walking through nature. You're in the woods. It's fantastic. There's nothing better. When you go to sleep that night, you're like, son of a bitch, I wish I was in a bed. I wish I was in a bed.
Goose says a sock filled with pennies, which have
a
you ever tried
sock.
To put on a wool sock in San Diego? It's
like, wool. What am I going to get this woman?
That's something you beat people with. It's a sock filled with pennies.
And copper. Here's a copper pipe. What do they even
you
use
get one
copper
of those healing bracelets, right?
Oh, she'd love
copper.
That. Yeah.
Seems like a Hannah gift,
those
right?
Those totally work. They totally work.
They say, right. People swear by those copper bracelets.
Well, so you're out tomorrow and Friday. I guess I'll just do the Mike Schilt interview solo.
Oh.
Going to miss out on
I think
Schilt
it's going to go well.
Yeah. Should be great. Should be great.
Especially if they win today.
Sure
there's no game on Thursday.
Sure hope they win tonight.
You have a perfect week to talk about if they win tomorrow.
Yeah.
2-0.
What's up, my dudes? How you doing?
Hey, we're great, Mike. How are you? Ben's out today. He's playing golf.
It's really cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Cool for all of us. Have a great trip.
Thank you.
We tell Scott we say hello.
Thank you. I will see you guys on Monday morning.
You're going to be so sore on Monday.
Probably.
So much golf. Control yourself out there, all right?
But, mentally, I'll be ready for the last 2 weeks of the season when I come back.
Here we go. Crunch time.
All right, Annie and Elston are coming up next. Paulie and Woods will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. For Paul Reindel, our executive producer and imaging director, and Stephen Woods. You're still in the chat. That's a long time for you. I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. From all of us at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.